You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, one of the great joys of serving as a minister, the joy of every Christian, is to witness baptism. But we often get to be on the side of officiating over those ceremonies, and it's a lot of fun, usually. Sometimes it's a little hectic, but a lot of fun and always joyous. St. Paul mentions baptism, and it's not in passing here in Colossians, but baptism. I reflect on baptisms I've officiated over the years, and a wise friend of mine when I was ordained said, Jay, you need to keep a notebook and write down every baptism you've ever done, because you'll forget. I promise you, you'll forget. And I looked him in the face. He's a retired Episcopal minister, lives in New England. I said, I'll never forget. It's such a precious moment. I'll never forget. And of course, after a few years, I've forgotten many of them. They blur. I don't forget the people so much as the exact experience. And sometimes the names, they wane as well. Paul talks about this in Corinthians. He says, you know, I've baptized a few of you. Some of you, I can't remember if I baptized you or not. And I always laughed at that. But now, after being in this position for a few years, they do start to blur together after time, especially here at the Advent. We have so many, I'm grateful to say. But I'll never forget my first baptism. I've shared this story with my colleagues before, but my first baptism was in New York City, at Calvary St. George's, there in Manhattan. And the reason it sticks out to me, not only because it was my first, but because of the unique circumstances. I think during seminary, I had dreamed to be a cute little baby belonging to a cute family, and we'd go, I don't know, to brunch or something afterwards. But this was not the case. It was a man by the name of Kenneth who came to be baptized. And Kenneth was in his mid-70s and homeless at the time and addicted to drugs most of his adult life. And Kenneth had wandered into the church on a Thursday afternoon. We had a weekly healing service, a Holy Communion and the anointing of oil and a sermon. And Kenneth had wandered in and heard the gospel for the first time. And it piqued his curiosity, and he wandered in the next week as well and kept coming for several Thursdays in a row and finally believed the gospel. It washed over him all those times in word, and so he desired to be baptized. And so Kenneth was my first baptism. And what was fun about Kenneth, he was had a great personality, but each week you could not predict his hairstyle. He had a mohawk, and each week it was a different color. It would be electric blue one Thursday, and then next week it would be sort of a neon pink. And the day of his baptism was a Thursday afternoon after the healing service. It was a wonderful neon yellow. I share this with you. Kenneth came out of the baptismal font after he was baptized, and he was crying. I mean, crying tears of intense joy. And he said the words, for the first time in my life, I feel free. I say that to you. Perhaps you remember your own baptism. For many of you, probably not, because you probably were baptized as a baby. But Luther tells us to remember that we are baptized. And it's that feeling, not just the feeling, but the reality, that we're forgiven. Full stop. As St. Paul says here, our debts are nailed to the cross. So what is baptism anyways? We're talking all about it. What is Paul talking about? He says this. He says this in the second chapter of Colossians. He says, in Christ we were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith, in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead. Paul makes this connection for the New Testament believer with the Old Testament sign of the covenant, circumcision. Of course, that was for boys as they entered into the household of faith. And now in the New Testament, the New Covenant, we all receive baptism. And Paul tells us right there, we're buried with Christ and we're made alive with him in his resurrection. Baptism is our identifying, rather God's identifying with us, absorbing us into his story of death and resurrection. So why are people so wary of baptism? I grew up not really in church, but sort of around Baptist circles, and became a Christian in Baptist circles. And I'm certainly not hurling any stones this morning, but in college, Paige and I, my wife, were involved in a college ministry, a Baptist campus ministries, and it was a wonderful fellowship of believers. But people would be baptized, of course, and then occasionally re-baptized. Now, if this is your experience, again, I'm not hurling any stones at you, but that's unnecessary. See, in the Baptist tradition, the sign of baptism is a sign of our faith, our response to God's grace. And if that's the case, then what happens when we sin or fall away, or as they would say, or you may have heard, backslide? Well, there's a need, a feeling to be baptized again. And I just want to say that's unnecessary. For you, if you have that feeling this morning, if you've been baptized, as St. Paul says, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Again, I'm not saying that to judge, but that feeling of needing to be washed over and over again, that's something I want to return to. The baptism is sufficient in and of itself. It proclaims the gospel to you and to me, whether you're a 75-year-old gutter punk in New York City or a 5-month-old infant here in Birmingham. The message is the same, that we've been buried with Christ and made alive with him. And because of that, like Kenneth said, we are free. We are actually free. And so when Luther tells us to remember our baptism, when Paul is drawing us back to those first principles, we never graduate from our need for forgiveness, for God's acceptance, for God's approval of us, which happens in our baptism when we are identified with Christ. We remember every time we wash our face, every time we take a dip in the pool, every time, this was my experience, it doesn't have to be yours, but going to the Russian bathhouse in New York City, boys from Alabaster like me, we didn't grow up doing that, but when I got to New York, my friend Jacob said I had to do it. And we would go after Easter and after Christmas to kind of rejuvenate, after Holy Week and Christmas and the services, clergy need to be rejuvenated. And so we would go into the Russian bathhouse, nothing strange about that, right? And you go into what's called the banya. It's a Russian Jewish bath. It's, you know, 200 degrees or whatever it is. And they beat you with oak leaves to massage you. And it exfoliates your skin. And you feel like you're on fire. And the next step is to do what's called a cold plunge in ice cold water. And coming out of the water, it's like being baptized. You feel free. Finally, the massage is over. I'll tell you this, if you ever do it, you will sleep like a baby that night. It's the best sleep of your life. I have to share this story. It really is not, it has nothing to do with anything, but at the bathhouse one time, this guy was pouring water onto the coals, and it causes all the steam to go up, and another gentleman was bold to say, hey, would you cut it out? It's a little too hot in here. And the other guy stood up, swung his towel around his head, and said, ladies' night is on Thursday. You can come back then. And my point in all of that was remember your baptism. Taking the cold plunge, dipping in the pool, washing your face, go back to first, as Waylon Jennings would say, we go back to the basics of love. We go back to our need for forgiveness and love and freedom that is found in Christ alone. We're blessed each week. I'm not speaking of myself, but my colleagues, we hear great sermons from this pulpit, and we have for years. And some years ago, I was here working at the church in the youth department, and I was sitting in the back pew, and I heard a sermon from one of our Lenten preachers. It was Paul Zoll, my dear friend Paul. And he quoted, and this was the first time I'd heard Paul preach, actually. He quoted from Meister Eckhart, and he gave this quote. This is Meister Eckhart, the German mystic. He says, if you want to find God, you have to go back to where you lost him. Maybe you remember that quote. I'll say it again. If you want to find God, you have to go back to where you lost him. This morning, each one of us have different experiences throughout the week and our lives. And if you're anything like me, I'm always having to go back to where I lost God. And usually for me, that departure point is when I trust in myself a little too much and I don't need God anymore. And then when I need God again, I've got to go back to where I lost him, which again was in me thinking I'm self-sufficient. That quote, much like the Luther quote, remember our baptism, is to go back to where God meets us in our great need, wherever that may be. Go back to the first principles of needing God's grace and forgiveness. And this morning, we all have that need. Like Kenneth, we need that freedom coming out of the waters and feeling for the first time that we're actually free. And here in Birmingham, in the Christian South, I meet so many Christians who are burdened. They don't experience that freedom. They've fallen back into, as Paul is talking about in this passage, the circumcision and the remembrances of dates and the diet and all the things that the law would tell us we need to do or not do. But we as Christians, our faith is in Christ alone, not in our performance. And so we go back to where we lost God. We go back to our need. We go back to our baptism. I'll share one final thing with you all. I've shared this before, but it's worth resharing. A piece of homework. I don't often give homework, but today your homework is to go to YouTube after the service and look up the O'Neill brothers, Jesus Dropped the Charges. And do it on YouTube. Don't do it on Spotify, because you need to see it in the context of the worship service. You need to see the joy on these people's faces as they're worshiping God. I'll read the lyrics. This is the O'Neill brothers, Jesus Dropped the Charges. I was guilty of all the charges, doomed and disgraced, but Jesus, with his special love, saved me by his grace. He pleaded and he pleaded, he pleaded my case. I'm so glad that Jesus dropped the charges. Jesus dropped the charges, now I'm saved. Now I'm saved through grace and faith. It goes on for several minutes, and they go into this swell of worship, and the litany over and over again is that at Calvary I heard him say, your case has been dismissed, case dismissed, saved by grace. And then they go on. He dropped the charges. Jesus dropped the charges. He dropped the charges. Jesus dropped the charges. And it's repetitive for a reason. We go back to that. That's our experience as Christians. That over and over again, we're reminded of that gospel truth, that you and I have nothing that separates us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Not things done or left undone, nothing in our past, no regrets, no failures, no disappointments. Nothing can separate us, because Jesus indeed has dropped the charges. And that's where Paul culminates this passage. He says it's been nailed to the cross. Our debts, our shame, our failure, they've all been nailed to the cross. They're as good as dead. So this morning, maybe you have the feeling of being held back by something in the past. And that feeling is real. I'm not discounting that. But in the face of that, like Luther, we can look into the face of the devil and say, you have no power here. Jesus dropped the charges. It's been nailed to the cross. Case dismissed. You are free. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.